Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Into that on the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We need to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our buddy Matt Verderam from FanSided. Matt, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Let's start here locally first. Did you see enough through the first 3.5 quarters? We all know what happened at the end of the fourth quarter from the Falcons that they can compete with the Rams on Sunday.
I think that they can get some pressure. They can make it a game. Like, you know, Grady Jarrett, obviously is Grady Jarrett. He can disrupt in the interior. The Rams are without their starting center, Brian Allen. He's out 2 to 4 weeks. They of course are without Andrew Whitworth, who retired after last season, and Austin Corbett is starting guard last year, who is gone. So, the Rams really struggled up front. Atlanta has some capability, at least what we saw week one, to get pressure. That was, of course, last year was a huge problem. They were the worst pass rush team in the NFL. Now, week one, they looked much better against the Saints line, by the way, that is pretty good. So I think the path for Atlanta is going to be you have to pressure Matt Stafford and then let your corners work. You have good corners in Casey Hayward and A.J. Terrell. Maybe you can force a pick. Maybe you get another turnover. So I think for Atlanta, look, they impressed me week one. I'll be very honest. I thought the Falcons were a team that might be ticketed for the number one overall pick this year. They didn't play like that week one. We'll see if they can sustain it. It's on the road, cross country. Rams had a few extra days to prepare. But I think Atlanta showed something, and they are well coached. So I expect Atlanta to at least stay around that you know, minus 10 line that's not even covered.
Do you think that the combination of Kyle Pitts and Drake London on the outside is enough to go after a good Rams secondary?
I think they're going to have a balanced attack. Pitts could have a huge day because I don't think the Rams are necessarily great at covering tight ends. Like, they don't have that linebacker or safety who you say, okay, that guy can just kind of dot up Pitts and they'll be okay. I don't think that's the case. First of all, no linebacker or safety one-on-one is going to guard Kyle Pitts unless they're unbelievably athletic. Think like Derwin James. Drake London, we'll see if Ramsey travels with him. He might not. The Rams switch that up at times. But I think if you're the Falcons, like, you need Cordarrelle Patterson in this game, right? You need to stay ahead of the sticks, utilize Marcus Mariota's legs. If they can do that and they can get themselves in a second and manageable, third and short, then they've got a chance. The Rams, one thing about them, as great as Donald is, the rest of that front seven, there's nobody in it that you just are overwhelmed by. I mean, Bobby Wagner's a great name. He looked very slow week one. So I think if you're Atlanta, the one thing you do have on offense, you have some speed. Use it. Try to get some misdirection going. I think that would be a way for Atlanta to score a few points in the game.
Talking with Matt Verderam, FanSided, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas, taking you up until Atlanta United pregame at 3:00. All right, elsewhere in the NFC, is this finally the year that the bug comes back to bite Aaron Rodgers and the Packers for not giving him enough?
You know, early returns say yes. I think I still believe in the Packers quite a bit. I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I still feel that way. But part of me picked that because I don't believe in the rest of the NFC either. I was going to pick the Bucs, and the Bucs are so ravaged by injury that worried me, and then Brady's offseason worries me even more. And the Rams, I was very concerned about their offensive line coming into the year, and that played out spectacularly in week one. The Packers, look, they're going to kill the Bears this weekend because that's what they do. You know, the Bears will go to Lambeau, and the Packers will hang 35 on them, and everybody's just going to drop all their concerns. I will not be one of those people. Like, at some point here with the Packers, you need somebody who on 3rd and 8, on 3rd and 7, in a big spot in the game that you believe can just get open. You can isolate on the back end of a formation, and you can just get that guy one-on-one and say, you know, he's going to win 8 times out of 10. I have no idea who that guy is on the Packers. I have no clue if it's one of these rookies eventually. Is it Randall Cobb? Is it Robert Tonyan? I mean, look, I respect both those players, but I think that's probably a stretch. None of those guys are top receiving options at this point. So I think for Green Bay, they have to just accept the fact they have to play differently. They need to be a team that relies on the running game more, that relies on a defense that has 7 first-round picks. And then Rodgers goes out and makes a half dozen great throws a game. I mean, that's what they're going to have to be. If they don't accept that, and they want to play the game they've played the last few years, where it's just going to be, hey, look, we're going to kill teams with these 15-yard, you know, back shoulder fades. They're not going to do that. They don't have Devontae Adams anymore. So I think there's a path for the Packers to be really good. I don't think that path includes playing the way they've played the last few seasons.
Now, the team that beat them, Matt, the Vikings, I'm a Kirk Cousins supporter. I think he gets a lot of crap in the league just because he's kind of a goofball and he's made some mistakes in his career. But if you look at his numbers the past 4 or 5 years, he's a very good to elite level status. Just if you look at the stats, is it the Vikings' year to finally make a deep run with this core?
Well, got off to a fine start week 1. They got pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Now that line was all kinds of beat up, but still they got home. They got sacks. And offensively, they've been handicapped for years by Mike Zimmer. Okay, Mike Zimmer has a lot of positives about his coaching style, but he also has a lot of negatives. And one of the negatives was they played an archaic offensive system. Their scheme was from the 1980s. So now, you know, you have Kevin O'Connell in there, comes over from the Rams, former offensive coordinator, and you saw in week 1, they looked like a much different team. They were scheming ways to get Justin Jefferson open. They did it consistently. Justin Jefferson had a huge day, over 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think they're going to continuously see them evolving on the offensive side. They have Thielen. They have Cook as well. I like Irv Smith as a breakout candidate tight end. So I think as long as the line holds up, which is the big question mark for me, they can be very good offensively. Look, I'm with you with Cousins. Cousins is not an elite quarterback, but he's better than people think he is. And if you look at his numbers year in and year out, he puts up big-time numbers. Now, he's not Mahomes, he's not Joe Burrow, he's not Allen, but he's a, you know, top 12 quarterback in the league. That's plenty good, especially in an NFC that is not especially deep this year. So my big question with Minnesota is just defensively. Like, I love the ad of Tadarius Smith. They've got a couple other big-time guys like Daniel Hunter, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith. Do they have enough around those guys? Are they good enough at corner, for example? If they are, they could be a team that absolutely wins the NFC North and maybe even threatens in the NFC.
Now, you mentioned Brady and the Bucs a little earlier. This is the second time in just a couple weeks, Matt, that he's come out and he's referenced his age and it hurt after he woke up after the game and he's got a lot of bleep going on. They've lost, I think at this point, 4/5 of their starting offensive line projected from a year ago. I mean, I know they look good in week 1, but I'm actually questioning if the Bucs are going to be able to keep it together and if Brady's going to be able to, for the first time in his career, really be faced with off-the-field adversity that could get to him a little bit.
Well, we're going to find out here these next 3 games. They're at the Superdome, which is a very tough game. I think they're going to lose this weekend. The Saints are a problem for them every year anyway. And the Bucs are just all beat up. I mean, you know, Godwin's out. Donovan Smith, I know, is doubtful, but I would be shocked if he plays. You know, we'll see with Mike Evans. We'll see with Julio Jones. You know, they are just missing a million guys. Obviously, other guys already out for a year, guys like Stinney and Jensen. So I think it's a rough game for them. Then they play the Packers. Then they play the Chiefs. I mean, we're gonna find out exactly how good Tampa is here over these next 3 weeks. I don't put a ton of stock in that game with Dallas. Dallas is awful. Dallas can't block. They have one weapon that matters. They, defensively, Dallas is halfway decent, which is going to that'll keep the Cowboys in the playoff race, I think, if they can get anything out of the quarterback spot while Prescott's out. And maybe they can't. That might be the end of it anyway. But the Buccaneers scored 19 points, scored one touchdown. You know, I don't know. You know, you just wonder if they get in the games against really good teams, again, next 3 weeks should be interesting, especially weeks 3 and 4. Like, what do they look like? Every great thing comes to an end at some point. Brady, I would never bet against the man for obvious reasons, but this has been, let's just call it what it is. I mean, this has been a very weird, turbulent offseason for both the Buccaneers and for Brady. He retires. He unretires. They essentially get rid of Arians and move him upstairs, and now Bowles is the head coach, and Brady takes a hiatus during camp. Now he's back. There's all this stuff about what's going on away from the field. I think the Buccaneers are very talented. I also think the Buccaneers have a lot of problems right now, and I don't know if they're going to go away.
Matt Verderam, Fansided, hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, listen, I'm not going to ask you to put your hot take hat on, but you can if you want. That Monday night football game, the way that thing ended, man, I mean, I know Russ is there and he's going to be there for a long time and they got a lot of talent, but ooh, that head coaching decision, I think there's a lot of people that are clenching their fists real tight in Denver right now.
I don't even know if it's a hot take to say, first of all, that was by far the worst coaching decision of the week. I mean, that decision, I got to tell you, watching the game, when it was 4th and 5, at the 46, I didn't even consider that they were going to kick a field goal. Like, at no point until I saw McManus on the field did I ever think that they were going to kick a field goal. And they didn't call timeout. I just thought they were having a communication issue, maybe a headset issue, and because they have all these new pieces, maybe they weren't figuring it out. They purposely, obviously, ended up running it down. They kicked, they missed, but then they get the timeout from Seattle. And then I thought, well, they're definitely going to run them off the field now after that kick. Then they did it again. And McManus, to his credit, actually put forth a very good effort. He just missed. But stuff like that. Like, if I'm a Broncos fan, look, if they had come out with a really bad game plan, that would have bothered me. But, okay, it happens. You know, I thought the Chiefs on Thursday night had a bad game plan. But they overcame and they won the game. The Broncos didn't lose because they had a bad game plan. They lost because they were undisciplined. They took a bunch of penalties. They had 2 fumbles inside the 1 yard line. But also, like, that decision to kick a field goal there, that's insane. Like, that's a decision that a 12-year-old wouldn't make playing Madden. Like, there is no justification for that, let alone with a $250 million quarterback you just traded 2 firsts and 2 seconds for. That's the kind of thing, if I'm a Broncos fan, I walk away and go, can he coach? Does he know what's going on? Like, this is basic stuff. This is football 101. If you can't execute that decision against a team that you want to beat 10 times out of 10, I'm very concerned about it, frankly, as far as Hackett and being the man who's running the show.
All right, last one, Matt. Explain this to me. Patriots looked awful in week 1. Steelers beat a division rival. I know they got the big injury with Watt. But the Steelers are getting 2.5 points at home against what looks to be a bad Patriots team. Why?
You know, that's a great question. I wrote all my picks out on Thursday over at Fansided, and I looked at that line for a solid 3 minutes and tried to figure out why that line was the way it was. I completely agree with you. I think it's the weirdest line of the week. It's the weirdest line of the first 2 weeks. I can't understand. I watched the entirety of both the Steelers games, and I went back and I watched the Pats game. The Patriots were atrocious in that game. Atrocious. They could not move the ball. They couldn't block. They couldn't get open. Mac Jones had a QBR of 9.7, and he earned it. I watched every snap of it. He earned every bit of that 9.7. The Steelers are not good offensively. They can't block. Trubisky's what he is. He's essentially a backup quarterback masquerading as a starter. But even without Watt, they have a very good defense. They have a very good front with Highsmith and Hayward especially. You have Fitzpatrick in the back end. They're at home. I think the Steelers are absolutely the better team. I think they should win the game. I think they will win the game. So I'm with you. I do not understand. You know, maybe Vegas just says, well, Belichick doesn't typically lose 2 times in a row. Belichick's also never had a team that without talent. And this team, to me, who's the all-pro on the Patriots? Matthew Slater on special teams, maybe Judon. I mean, that's it. There's nobody else on that roster who's going to really threaten you.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. Check him out on Fansided, Matt Verderam. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.